Hello, I'm Dr. Jonathan Barker, pastor here at Amazing Grace Baptist Church in Mount Airy, North Carolina. I would like to personally thank you for taking out time today to tune in to our preaching podcast. We hope that this message will be a great encouragement to your heart today.
But Luke 22, verse 31. And the Lord said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for thee, that thy faith fail not. And when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren. And he said unto him, Lord, I am ready to go with thee, both in prison and to death. And he said, I tell thee, Peter, the cock shall not crow this day before thou shalt thrice deny that thou knowest me. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this day. Thank you for your word. Thank you for the power of it, Lord. I pray that what you've yearned and eat and put on my heart, Lord, that you give me power in it for your sheep. Help me to feed your sheep, Lord, and just give me what you would have the people have. We love you. Help somebody get saved tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. Tonight I'm going to preach on Simon the Sifted. There is a lot, and some of it covering fast. It's going to be vague, but I'm going to get to the very end where I'm trying to get to. And if you look at the first part of this, Jesus has came. He's talking to Peter, and he tells Peter about some things that are going to happen. And we know that this story and where I'm going to be is all around the crucifixion, but not on it. And it's going to be right wrapped up with it. But this story of Peter's denial is in verse 54 through 62 of Luke. And I'm not going to read that for sake of time, but that's the story. It's also found in Matthew 26, verse 58, 69 through 75. It's accounted in Mark 14, 54, and 66 through 72, and it's also in John. But I look at this story, and the Lord just dealt with me. The preacher said something a few weeks ago, and it just grabbed me. He said he couldn't handle it. And as soon as he said that, after the message that night, I started stirring on this and stirring. And the first thing I notice about this, if you look at the story, we're going to be up on Peter's denial. I'll come back to that text verse I read, but we'll be looking through verse 54 through 62. And there's different accounts of it. But the first thing I notice, you pull back on verse 31, is what the preacher said. Look at what Jesus told him in verse 31. Verse 33, he said unto him, Lord, I'm ready to go with thee both in prison and death. And he tells him that about the crow, the cock, and how it'll crow this day, and thou shalt see Peter. I don't know that he done like we do a lot of times. I don't know that he listened to what the preacher said. I think if I had a message tonight to tell you about this first point, we need to listen to what the preacher said. You know, the preacher will stand up here a lot of times, and this part of the message got confirmed this morning. But I was sitting here like, I don't know if I ain't never dodged anything the Lord's told me to preach. But I was like, this is. Y'all going to get the green beans first and we eat the cherry yum-yum at the end. Is that all right? He said, but you know, the preacher stands up here and the man of God, and he talks about how we should, let's just say, abstain from the very appearance of evil. We talked about a lot of this stuff this morning. This is passing by. You know how young people, we should adorn ourselves in the way we dress, in modest apparel. And you know, we sometimes listen, but are we hearing, but are we listening? And sometimes I think Peter, he kind of already had it in his mind the way he was going to do this situation before he got there. And sometimes we get in trouble when we don't listen to the preacher, but also we don't lay on it. And you say, what do you mean, preacher? What do you mean lay on it? We don't sit on it. You know how sometimes at Sunday nights, I like to eat a big hamburger because I ain't going to work and that's a day off. But a hamburger late at night will lay on you. You know how it just lay on you? And you'll go home and you're sitting on the couch and you just feel heavy. I mean, you're just in your stomach. And it just lays on you. But that's how the Word of God should be. It should lay on us. When the preacher preaches, it should lay on us. We should account for it. And I don't know, I'm going to show you here in a minute, but I don't know where Peter laid on what he said in that statement. But I also say you have to listen to what the preacher said. You better level up. There's a game I played, and this is before all these silly games y'all young people have. We had Mario on Nintendo. You had to cross the A and the B. And you'd run, and you'd try to jump and jump over stuff. And it wasn't no up, up, down, down, B, B, X, X
to, you know, it wasn't none of that. I mean, I didn't get to play video games much because I was a sore loser. I'll just be honest with you. My brother always beat me, so I'd get tired and go outside. But we got to level up. You know, in Mario, you could get the raccoon tail, and you could take off running, and you could fly over stuff. And if you played, you know, Mario, it's like, whatever. That's a 90s thing. But me and the preacher's about the same age, so he knows what I'm talking about. But the raccoon tail, and you'd spin over top of stuff, and so you wouldn't get killed. And you know, that's kind of silly, but that's what we got to do with the situations. We got to level up to God to get over. You look at the older Christians and the older people in church and the people who listen to the Word of God. They level up. They get a hold of the Lord, and you look at them, and you're like, how in the world is that situation that just annihilates me every time I deal with it? Doesn't them. Because they knew how to get a hold of the one who can handle it. But what I'm saying, what the preacher said, we got to listen to him, lay on it, level up. But many times we haven't worked out in our own head what we planned before and after the man of God speaks. We like, you know, I'm gonna hang around that crowd. I'm going to get into that later, but I'm going to do this thing. We've got it in our mind, and I think Peter already had it in his mind he was going to follow Jesus. And he might have been a little submissive in listening to him at the time. But as Peter, we need to listen, lay on it, level up. Then maybe we wouldn't get ourselves into some of the messes we get in. But the people, I looked up what it said, the people scrutinized. I put that. I looked at what the people did. And scrutinize is a really neat word. It's to search closely, to examine or inquire into critically, to conduct or see the motives of somebody. And that's what people did to him. You look at where he was at, going from 54 to 62, most of the rest of the preaching, where he was. It says in verse 54 that he was 55, that he sat down among them. Now, he was supposed to be with God's people, but I ain't a doubt in my mind, there were servants, there was mixture. In other accounts, it said the servants. But there was a different, it wasn't the people that he walked closely to Jesus with. And I'm going to tell you, when we get away from what the preacher said and we go do things the way we want to do them, like Peter did, there ain't no way we're going to be sitting down among the brethren, because we're going to be held accountable to that. And when we do that, I had some questions I just asked. Where was he at? He was among the servants, probably some general people, probably the, you know, high priest and those people. But, you know, they were pretty rough. Why was he there? He thought he could handle it, what the preacher said the other night. You know, if you take a chicken egg and you take it out of a hen house and you stick it in the middle of that right there and you put 25 snakes around it, what's going to happen? They're going to eat that egg. And that's what people will do to you outside the brethren. They will eat you. They will eat your lunch. They will chop you up. And that's what they did to Peter. They got a hold of him. And then I ask what it did to him. It caused a war on the inside. See, Satan he can get in here, but it's going to take a hard work to get in here, because you got people casting out hellfire with prayer, and they're not going to let it be as possible to get in this house. But you go out here and you sit down with the wrong crowd and things, and just like you say, let them come in, please get saved. But I can't sit down and take myself and get to the point where I maybe am susceptible to that per se. What it did to him, it caused a war on side. A war on the inside. He can't sift through the brethren like he can trigger you in the world. And that internal war gets me to my neck. It gave him a personal situation. Look at 56, 58, and 59. You can just read it on your own. But there was an entry in that personal situation. It entered his mind. They asked him. They said, ain't you the one that was with Jesus? Ain't you the one? I'm telling you right now, if you go sit down with the old crowd, the new crowd, if you ain't never had a crowd, go find one. They're going to question you. They're going to say, ain't you the guy that was up there at Amazing Grace and you was preaching and now you're sitting down here? They're going to put you on the spot because, number one, it holds them accountable. I can't tell you how many people I'm around. I see it coming all the time. There's a conviction there that it comes from God. But when you're around them, it stirs them up, and they get fired up, and they probably, them people sitting down there was like, man, he ain't like us. It made them uncomfortable. And so they're going to hold him accountable, and the devil's going to use them to prick at him. And that's what happened. there was an entry, and ain't no doubt it got in his mind about the third person that asked him, or the second person twice. But there was an embarrassment. In 57, 58, and 60, he acknowledges that he did not know him. And that's what we're going to do. The easiest way to lie is to get embarrassed, saved or not saved. You get embarrassed, sometimes you'll just lie quick, even if you correct yourself. It's embarrassment. It's just human, because you're on the spot. I mean, people get angry when they're embarrassed. They'll lie. They'll do all sorts of things. And I've told a fib recently about it was quick instinct, and then I said, that ain't right. Let me fix that, because I was kind of put on the spot and didn't think. You know, that's human nature. But there was embarrassment. It targeted his pride and flesh when he had to answer back that I don't know him. And I'm telling you, it tore him up. It was a personal situation. There was I like this word, it was engulfing. The engulfing in 1828 means to throw or to absorb. I'm going to tell you, when you get around people, and that they're going to absorb you. You're going to be absorbed. Look at the way we come together and we kind of blend in. We're absorbed in this. You go hang around the wrong crowd, eventually you're going to be absorbed in this. And maybe this is more to young people, but you date that person that you know you shouldn't be dating, or you move away and go against what you know what the Bible says, that you're supposed to instruct children to obey their parents. That means if Jacob's 30 or Madeline's 50 and they're living in their daddy's house, they're supposed to listen to their parents. And that's what the Bible says. But you get out here, it'll engulf you. It'll engulf you. Peter was overwhelmed with emotion. It references that in the Matthew. I had the verse wrote down, but if you go over to Matthew, I believe it's 26, verse 74. It talks about how he cussed and swore in this same account. But, you know, he was overwhelmed with emotion. And that's what the people will do to you. They'll enter your mind, then they'll embarrass you, and then you'll be engulfed in it. But there was listening to the preacher, the people scrutinizing, the personal situation he was going through. But I want to get to the protection will be surrendered. When we go through things like Peter, and I'm telling you, verse 62, it says, and Peter went out and wept bitterly. He was weak. He had, you know, Jesus told him up there in the garden with the other disciples, he said, what are y'all sleeping for? Y'all need to be praying so you don't enter ye into temptation. He was weak because he had entered into temptation. He didn't hear what the preacher said. He didn't heed to the word of God. He didn't think about it. He went and done what he wanted to do. He couldn't handle it, and it got on him. And it gave him, his protection was surrendered. Now, that don't mean he lost his salvation, but he was surrendered. It says it, and he went out, and Peter went out and wept bitterly. He was weak. Christ reminded them to pray in verse 46 of Luke 22. He wept. I can tell you, he walked away, it said. You know, a lot of times, the Lord taught me something here. If you ever walk away, or you get in a situation, or your protection is surrendered, here's how it comes. It comes through your pride, first thing. First thing. We'll just use church as an example. Well, I'm going to do this my way. That's what Peter did. He went and followed. And then you're going to get angry. When they asked him, it targeted him. And you're going to say, well, I'm going to do this my way. And then you get angry when it doesn't go your way. And then you said, I'm out, really. And then sorrow comes after the anger. And that's what happened to Peter. The sorrow came after the anger because he wanted to do it his way. He left. And then he's looking at it, he's crying, he's upset. But, the green beans are about over. But the good thing's coming. There was power stabilized. And I like this. Steadiness, stableness, firmness, strength to stand without being moved or overthrown, in Webster 1828. You know, I read one definition that says when you get the power hooked up and something comes behind that power and it charges it and it makes it stand, it ignites that power. It stabilizes. It keeps, oh man, that's what Jesus does for me. He stabilizes me. But you look at his power was stabilized. We don't read about where he was forgiven, but I know he was forgiven because you look over in John 20, it's two accounts where Jesus came to the disciples after the tomb was empty. He comes, and then he comes 8 days later, And then in chapter 21, he comes to him on the Sea of Galilee. And then it says in verse 14 that that's the third time that Jesus Christ came. I'm going to tell you, sometimes I didn't ask for forgiveness and Jesus came to me anyway. There's times where he come and put me in a spot where I wanted to ask forgiveness. That's how merciful a God we got sometimes. Sometimes we don't have to ask forgiveness. We need to ask forgiveness and get right with God. But I'm saying sometimes God loves us so much that he comes and reaches for us and reaches and says, hey, man, I don't want you like this. I don't want you to weep and be bitter and sick like Peter. I want you, just come on back, man. Just come on to me if you're not saved. He just reaches for us. But he stabilized his power. He was forgiven. And in John, and then he was filled. Look, Acts 2:38. You can read and write some of this down if you want to read it later. But he preached. He preached. He told them, he said, repent, be baptized, and receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Amen. I'm telling you right now, he was filled. He was fruitful after his power was stabilized. Acts 2:41, 3,000 souls were saved, it was accounted to. He was filled. Jesus came to that man three times after what he did. He was an example of the whole flock, even though it was prophesied that the sheep would be slaughtered and the flock would be scattered. He still came to him three times. I'm telling you, Jesus Christ, it was good. It was his purpose. He wanted Jesus Christ don't want you to live like in sorrow. He wants you to be filled. He wants you to be fruitful. He will forgive you. But the last thing I noticed right here is the prayer of the Savior. Going back to the text verse 31, and I'm gonna be there the rest of the time. It said, and the Lord said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for thee, that thy faith fail not. And when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren. He knew what was going to happen. He knew that he was going to be converted. He knew that he was going to strengthen his brethren afterwards. He knew Peter had it in him. You know one thing about Peter? If he told all 12 disciples to walk down the stage, Peter would do this. Because Peter was a jumper. And there's a pro and con about a jumper. A pro is that he's going to jump. The con is sometimes there's going to be a hole there. But if you don't ever jump in a hole, you ain't ever going to do nothing. Sometimes you just got to jump. And I think that's what the Lord liked about Peter. He just jumped. And I'm telling you right now, our Savior prayed for you. He prayed for you. Jonathan Bass gave me this Bible. It was a very nice gift when I announced my call to preach. But he wrote in here, we pray after Satan attacks. Jesus prays before. I like that. I like that. He prayed before. And the thing is, there's another text I can show you after church if you want to read it. I ain't got time to go over it. But where Jesus prayed for every man before he went to the cross. But in this situation, he prayed for Peter before this happened. He prayed for us. Verse 32, he prayed for Peter. But I have prayed for thee that thy faith fail not. God, what a Savior. What a Jesus we serve. He prayed for him. I say he pardoned him. John 3:16, Ryan Hayes preached. He pardoned him. He will preserve you. 2 Timothy 1:12. Yeah, I love it. It's one of my favorite verses in the Bible. For the which cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I'm not ashamed, for I know whom I believe. And I am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. He can preserve us because he is able. He is able. He is able to preserve our salvation. He is able. For the which cause, I know what I've believed. He's able to keep. But I want to say this at the very end. God cares about the little things. I've preached a lot to the saved, and I'm still talking to the unsaved a little bit now. But God cares a lot about the little things. He cares about things, for example, whether you lap the water like a dog or you use your hand. He cares about what kind of wood you use to build. He cares about how many rocks you pick up on the passage through. He cares about little things. Abraham had descendants as the sand of the sea, and he cares about every single speck. God cares for every speck. I'm going to tell you, saved or backslidden, he cares about you. He loves you. And you know, maybe you need encouragement for your walk. Maybe you just need to bring it all to him. Maybe you need to be prayed for. But he's here. He's right here. I'll end with this. If you're not saved, Lot's wife and the preacher come, the pastor. Lot's wife turned back to look at her sin just one more time. If you came here today and you want to walk out this door and turn exactly back to the life you had, you may not get to. She didn't. This is the serious part now. But she didn't have a chance to turn back. I was lucky. I just gave you my whole testimony without saying one word about it. It ain't about that. I'm worried about this part. She turned back. Leaving the building. I'm going to read Acts 2. I'm going to read you what Paul said. And I'm gonna go to the house with the preacher. But I'm going to tell you right now, if I can get there, Acts 2, if you're not saved, she turned back and it was over for her. She didn't have another chance. I'm going to tell you, God's a whole lot more gracious to us than He has to be. Like the pastor said, I didn't have to have another chance. This ain't about me. He put this message on my heart, and it ain't about me. The saved need to know this, because sifting, I actually forgot to read you that. Sifting is to shake by inward agitation, to try one's fate to the verge of overthrow. And that's what Satan did to Peter. He tried his fate to the verge of overthrow. And there's times we're all going to be there. And if you ain't been there yet, and you're young, you better listen to what the preacher says. And you can save yourself a world of grief. I repeated what the preacher said down there the other day, because they're working with men that haven't stayed true their whole life. And I told them what he told me in the pulpit years ago. I said, the best testimony is the one that's never been there. And I told him that. And Brother Jeff, he said, that's great. That's a good statement right there. And I'm going to tell you, it's good. But God cares about you. But I'll tell you exactly what he told Peter, what Peter said to him. If you're looking to turn back the way you came in, Peter said, repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. There's a gift today, and God's wanting to give it to you. And I'm telling you, I love my wife. Sometimes she has to wait on me, not as much as she used to. But there's a time, if she has to wait on me long, she's not going to keep waiting. Ain't you glad God waits on you? But you know, God is like that sometimes. Sometimes he ain't going to wait no more. Sometimes that's the last chance. And you know, I'd hate to be here tonight and this be the last time I had a chance to turn. I love you.